Good afternoon, 4:30 and 58 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
I think they'll see by selling some of the Trailtown products in their stores, by making signature drinks or signature items on their menus. How great of an opportunity would that be to attract those customers?
Moorhead Tourism Director Joy Brown says she'll have more meetings with local businesses to talk about how they can benefit from the city's trail town status.
Moorhead State responds to the ACLU about the university's free speech policy.
And Moorhead City Council sets tax rates for 2014.
In sports, Kansas City could capture the American League Championship tonight with a victory over Baltimore.
But Luke has the stocks.
Occasional showers tonight with lows in the 50s. The complete forecast is coming up. First, this news.
Authorities in Moorhead are continuing to investigate the death of a 68-year-old Johnson County man. MSPR's Sam Steyert has more.
According to the Moorhead News, Gary Stephen Rice died on September 30th after being found unconscious in his truck on North Tolliver Road. Rice had said earlier that day he was hurt during a fall, but Moorhead police say his injuries were suspicious. Rice was taken to St. Clair Regional Medical Center and then airlifted to the UK Medical Center. He was later transferred to Riverview Healthcare Center in Prestonsburg, where he died. Rice's body has been taken to Frankfurt, where an autopsy was performed by the state medical examiner. The cause of Rice's death remains uncertain at this time. For MSPR News, I'm Sam Steyert.
Carter County woman who admitted to taking part in a home repair scam has been sentenced to community control and must pay back some 35 victims. WSAZ reports the sentence was handed to Carol Richard in Lawrence County Common Pleas Court in Ironton. Richard and her husband Patrick operated All Seasons Incorporated in Grayson. They were accused of bilking customers in the Ironton area out of more than $140,000. He will be sentenced in January. Joe Ross is a detective for the Ironton Police Department. He spoke with the Huntington Station.
Just because we're a small town here in southern Ohio doesn't mean you come in and take advantage of the people that live here, the elderly, or the other people needing work to their houses done.
The couple has been ordered to pay over $143,000 in damages.
The Florida man charged with making threats online that closed two schools in Ironton last month has pleaded innocent to related charges in Lawrence County Common Pleas Court. WSAZ is reporting that 23-year-old Kyle Paramore was arraigned today on charges of making terroristic threats and inducing panic. His bond was set at $250,000. Police say threats of a shooting that were posted on the Internet caused the closure September 12th of the Ironton Elementary and Middle Schools.
A Moorhead state official says the university has responded to the Kentucky ACLU's request for further information regarding its campus free speech policy. According to John Ernst, the executive assistant to MSU President Wayne Andrews, the school will have no further comment on the matter at this time. The ACLU requested a copy of Moorhead State's free speech policy after a complaint was filed last month by Tim Scowden, a writing candidate for Moorhead City Council and a graduate student at MSU. Scowden claims he was removed from the Adrian Dorn University Center by a school official as he was meeting with a student group. The ACLU asked the university for further information about its campus free speech policy after reviewing its handbook policy on the topic. The ACLU says what it looked at was insufficient and lacking clear definition in regards to politicking on campus.
Moorhead City Council has voted to go forward with its compensating real and property tax rates for 2014. Glenn Teeger is a member of council.
I just felt like this was fine, that if we continue to grow the community, then this rate would not have to go up. So we set it at 25.6 cents per $100 for real property and 33.23 cents per $100 for personal property in 2014.
Teeger says the rates will generate $900,000 annually for the community.
The need to raise property taxes to help the county's tight budget remains a bone of contention between Rowan's two candidates for judge executive. Democrat Walter Blevins and Republican Richard White squared off during a political forum Tuesday night in Moorhead. While both men agreed that broadening the tax base is preferable to hiking the property tax, Blevins said that strategy sometimes must be employed to ensure that important local services remain paid for. White, though, says he remains firmly opposed to increasing Rowan's property tax.
As we're trying to get out of this recession that we're into, the last thing we need to do is implement another tax on the people here in this town. I think we need to take advantage of some of the programs out there, like the work certification program and the new market tax credit program, to entice businesses to come in here to invest in jobs.
Blevins believes that by building a new recreation park, Rowan County could attract new industry and more jobs, which would prevent the need to hike the property tax.
The candidates running in Moorhead's mayoral race also spoke during last night's political forum. A key point of discussion was what to do about recreation in the city, now that there's a need for a facility to replace the defunct swimming pool. Incumbent Mayor David Perkins believes the proposal to build a recreation facility at Sunnybrook will be a longer-term solution that needs more planning.
Well, being very close to that subject, particularly the pool and its demise, we've looked at this for a long time. We've pretty much come to the conclusion that in the very near future, Sunnybrook is not an option for us. The infrastructure is not there. It's going to take several years before it's even possible.
Challenger Jim Tom Trent has yet to decide whether the city should go with Sunnybrook or a different location.
It's very important to look at what is best for to serve the community at its time. At this point, I've not been able to see enough about both projects, which one will be the best. But I think if you bring them all to the table and take input from the community, what they want and what they see to best spend their dollars.
The city had been looking into building a new recreation park before the closure of its 40-year-old public pool due to water damage earlier this year.
Tourism Director Joy Brown says Moorhead's certification as a Kentucky trail town will boost the fortunes of existing businesses in the community and spawn new ones. Brown held the first in a series of meetings with local merchants this week on how they can enhance their bottom line with trail town promotions.
It won't happen overnight, but as the whole trail town program grows in our community, we get new promotions going. We get people educated on what the program can bring to our community. We're going to host one of these Trail Town Today events quarterly now. So I think that that's going to build a new communication that we didn't have before, and we're going to see a lot more people to come in our community just to utilize our trails.
Moorhead is the only city along the Sheltowee Trail in which the trail runs through the downtown area.
The city of Moorhead has received a state grant to purchase tasers and battery packs. The $2,000 award was announced today by Governor Beshear and State Senator Walter Blevins. They say the grant is among 30 given out to police agencies statewide as part of the Law Enforcement Protection Program. It's administered by Kentucky's Department of Homeland Security.
Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Allison Grimes has a plan to pay for replacing the Brent Spence Bridge. Grimes discussed the proposal Tuesday at a press conference in Kenton County.
There are five loopholes that we can actually close, tax breaks that we can end, that will help to bring in $75 billion over the course of 10 years. Adequate funding to help address the Brent Spence Bridge and shore up our Federal Highway Trust Fund.
Grimes was joined at her news conference by Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. The bridge that connects Covington with Cincinnati has long been considered obsolete. The cost of a new structure has been pegged at about $3 billion.
A reporter for the Lexington Herald Leader says Monday's high-profile Senate debate between Mitch McConnell and Allison Grimes probably doesn't change the political landscape in Kentucky. Sam Youngman covers politics for the newspaper and analyzed the race Tuesday on C-SPAN's Washington Journal.
Our poll, Bluegrass poll, which we do in connection with other media outlets here in Kentucky, last week showed Allison Morgan Grimes with a 2-point lead. It's obviously within the margin of error, but it's obviously also a big change from what we've been seeing. So I think the bottom line is it's a close race, and it'll probably continue to be right up until November 4th.
Youngman says he doesn't think either candidate won that debate.
A GOP political analyst and former Deputy Secretary of State says Democrat Allison Grimes did not help her bid for the U.S. Senate Monday by claiming that incumbent Republican Mitch McConnell became wealthy on the backs of hardworking Kentuckians. Les Fugit made the comments on Insight Cable's Pure Politics. He was offering his take on KAT's debate between Grimes and McConnell. Fugit says the charge made Grimes appear to be inauthentic.
And that simply wasn't true. That came from an inheritance when his mother-in-law passed away. And he was able to take that moment and kind of shine and make it very relatable. And she kind of seemed off base there.
Fugit says Grimes also struggled explaining why she wouldn't say which presidential candidate she voted for in 08 and 2012. Democratic strategist Sherman Brown also appeared on Pure Politics. He says Grimes' best moment may have been near the end of the debate when she challenged McConnell's leadership.
And she kind of looked, you know, he was talking about Obama and Obama this, Obama that. It's kind of like, you have a role here. You are able to really, you know, step in and do something, and you say that you are for Kentucky, yet you just keep positioning and saying it's all this guy. I really wish, when I heard it, that she would have said it at the very, very beginning.
Brown also claims Senator McConnell was weak in explaining what would happen in Kentucky if the Affordable Care Act were repealed.
KET officials say the Kentucky U.S. Senate debate was the highest-rated PBS program in the country on Monday. They estimate more than 133,000 people in the Commonwealth tuned in for the hour-long program moderated by Bill Goodman. The exchange between Democrat Allison Grimes and incumbent Republican Mitch McConnell could be the only debate between the candidates prior to the November election. No other forums are scheduled at this time.
McGoffin Judge Executive Doc Hardin believes his county has a real shot at convincing state and federal officials to build a Veterans Administration nursing home in his county. Hardin says local officials will start work on a proposal to give them in the next month, in addition to providing Eastern Kentucky's aging veterans with a badly needed 120 to 125-bed facility. Hardin says the nursing home would mean 168 new jobs for his area.
It would be a huge financial shot in the arm for McGoffin County, but for the whole region. Many of the medical personnel, particularly nurses, respiratory therapists, it's quite common for them to drive one or two counties away to work at our local hospitals or at our local nursing homes. So this would not just be a shot in the arm for McGoffin County, it would be for the whole region.
At this point, Hardin says local officials don't have a timetable for getting the new VA nursing home built in McGoffin County.
A strict new no-smoking ordinance takes effect today in a West Kentucky city. Smoking is now prohibited in public areas in Owensboro. That includes public parks and enclosed spaces, such as restaurants, stores, and banks. The main places exempt from the ordinance are homes, cars, and existing bars. Steve Lynn is assistant city attorney.
We passed the ordinance several weeks ago, and so we did make the effective date October the 15th so that we could get word out to our citizens. A fine for a first violation could be up to $100. A fine for a subsequent violation could be $250.
The city of Moorhead has had a no-smoking ordinance since 2006.
Ebola preparedness packages crafted by the Kentucky Department for Public Health could wind up being revised as officials in Dallas study how a nurse became infected with the virus, despite apparently following all the proper protocols. The materials were prepared in line with recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, but Dick Bartlett with the Kentucky Hospital Association says those guidelines could change soon, depending on the findings in Texas.
Later this week or early next week, we may see some fine-tuning, maybe some increased recommendations for training on how to take the personal protective equipment off, or the level of protection may come back out.
Bartlett, who also briefed two state Senate leaders on the plans last week, says any updates to the procedures can be easily integrated into the existing recommendations. Many of the protocols were originally created during the 2001 anthrax scare and have since been revised to address the threat presented by Ebola.
A Texas nurse visited with family in Ohio just days before she was diagnosed with Ebola in Dallas. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has that story.
The Ohio Department of Health says she visited family from October 8th through the 13th and flew Monday from Cleveland to Dallas. The state epidemiologist, Dr. Mary D. Oreo, says Ohio and Summit County health officials are working to identify and alert people who may have been in close contact with the woman and implement quarantines if necessary. She says information is being gathered about whether the nurse showed symptoms while in Ohio. Ebola is spread through direct contact with the blood or bodily fluids of someone with the virus. She says local health departments will be kept apprised of the situation. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
And finally, environmentalists are organizing a summit on fracking pipelines and landowner rights for next month in Lexington. Kentuckians for the Commonwealth says the November 8th summit was put together by landowners and others who battled the proposed Bluegrass Pipeline. That pipeline was designed to carry natural gas liquids through several Kentucky counties on the way to the Gulf of Mexico. Summit organizer Chris Schimmoller says the state is destined to have more pipeline projects proposed in the future. He says the purpose of the summit is for pipeline opponents to educate themselves. Bluegrass Pipeline organizers announced in April that they were halting the project. The summit will be held at the Locust Trace Agriscience Center on Leestown Road. And taking a look at the weather forecasts for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Paris, Carlisle, and Maysville. Tonight, numerous showers in the evening, then occasional showers with lows near 50. Chance of rain is 80%. Tomorrow, cloudy with numerous showers in the morning, then scattered showers in the afternoon. Highs around 60, chance of rain is 60%. And Friday, partly cloudy, warmer with highs around 70. Currently in Ashland, it's 61 degrees, 57 in Flemingsburg, 60 degrees in Inez, 57 in Lexington, 56 in Winchester, and in Moorhead, it is currently 58 degrees.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition. Good to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, an organization in Kentucky is looking to minorities for a major vendor fair this month. MSPR's Samantha Morrill has that story.
The Kentucky Community and Technical College System is reaching out to diverse businesses for its October 22nd vendor fair. KCTCS has invited businesses owned by minorities, women, veterans, and the physically challenged to showcase their goods and services to KTCTS members and their colleagues. Wendell Followill is the System Director of Business Services for KCTCS, and he says the fair is an opportunity for vendors to market themselves.
With 70-plus campuses statewide, we buy all types of products and services, anything and everything to teach with and instruct with and to operate the colleges.
The fair will take place at the Lexington Convention Center between 2 and 6 p.m. on the 22nd. The Convention Center has space for 100 vendors and the 16 colleges who plan to be there. Followill says the goal of the fair is to diversify their vending partners to adequately reflect the diversity of the colleges.
This particular fair is to allow diverse vendors an opportunity to showcase their products and services with our colleges, and hopefully we will be able to expand our business with diverse vendors.
The fair is expected to be the largest in Kentucky this year. Followill says the fair will be an opportunity for business connections to be made.
It's an opportunity for a matchmaker. Hey, I didn't know you all did that. You're in my community. Be interested in doing that. Could you give me a quote for that? That type of thing.
Registration for the Supplier Diversity Fair is free but limited, online at kctcs.edu. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Samantha Morrill.
4:48, All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Jared has sports in 30 seconds.
Support from SPR comes from Sherpa Concerts, presenting Old Crow Medicine Show at the Paramount Arts Center, 8 p.m. Thursday, November 13th. On tour promoting their latest album, Remedy, Old Crow Medicine Show offers a high-energy, roots-based blend of bluegrass music. Tickets available in person at the Paramount Arts Center box office and online at ParamountArtsCenter.com. Old Crow Medicine Show in concert at the Paramount Arts Center in Ashland, 8 p.m. on Thursday, November 13th.
Royals fans will be bringing their brooms out tonight. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. The Royals will look to finish things off tonight in Game 4 of the ALCS in Kansas City against the Baltimore Orioles. Up 3-0, Ned Yost has his ball club firing on all cylinders. Royals third baseman Mike Moustakas says he and his teammates are extremely confident.
This team just doesn't panic. For some reason, we just always feel confident knowing that we're going to be able to score a run or multiple runs, just as long as we keep that game close.
KC will be going up against Baltimore pitcher Miguel Gonzalez. Gonzalez, who hasn't pitched in quite some time, says he's ready to go.
It's been 2 weeks, so, but I've been preparing myself to stay focused, and I've had a couple bullpens, and a live BP, so I'm excited.
First pitch at Kauffman Stadium is scheduled for 4:07.
Game 4 of the NLCS will also take place tonight in San Francisco as the Giants will host the St. Louis Cardinals. After winning last night's thriller in extras off of a throwing error, the Giants will look for two in a row tonight at AT&T Park. San Fran is currently leading the series 2-1. Fans will get a preview of the 2014-2015 Morehead State men's and women's basketball teams tomorrow evening. MSU Assistant Athletic Director Brad Smith says the two teams will be featured during the inaugural Light Up the Lot event, which will be held outdoors.
We're actually going to erect a blue and gold court on the parking lot at AAC. It's going to be blue and gold with an eagle head in the middle. It'll be very unique. My last count, there are only about 10 other universities in the country actually having an outdoor basketball event like this, and we're fortunate enough to be one of them.
In addition to scrimmages by the two MSU basketball teams, Smith says there will be plenty of other events, along with lots of food. Light Up the Lot starts at 6 p.m. tomorrow. The University of Kentucky's Big Blue Madness will not air live, MSPR's Braxton Howard reports.
The SEC Network will not air the annual event, which is slated for this Friday, and will unveil this season's UK men's and women's basketball teams. According to ESPN, there's a music rights issue. If Big Blue Madness is aired, the school will have to pay tens of thousands of dollars every time a piece of copyrighted music is played. Music is used to help introduce the players. Instead, the SEC Network will show excerpts of the event. Fans with high-speed internet will also be able to view the event on ESPN3.com. ESPNU will show cut-ins as part of its coverage of six schools' madness celebrations across the country Friday night. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says sophomore Austin Gayhafer will again be the Eagles' starting QB when they visit PFL rival Dayton on Saturday. Gayhafer didn't play well in last weekend's loss to Jacksonville and was replaced in the second half by backup Tyler Rice. According to Tenier, if Gayhafer struggles again, he won't be afraid to put Rice back in there.
We know that we've got a number two that can run our offense, and if we feel like we need a spark or we feel like we want to incorporate him into our game plans, then we'll do that as needed. And all it will be performance-based, but we've got two guys that can help us win football games, and we've got to find ways to get them both on the field.
The Eagles need to beat Dayton to end a two-game losing streak. They're 2-4 overall, 1-2 in the PFL. Despite a 5-1 start, the Kentucky football team doesn't plan to rest on its laurels, so says quarterback Patrick Toles. Toles knows that victory number 6 makes UK bowl eligible, but says that's not good enough for him and his teammates.
You know, we're going to do everything we can to get 6 next week, and after we get 6, we're going to try to get 7. And we're not satisfied with 5 or 6 or anything like that. We want to win out, and we think we can do that.
The Wildcats will be out to improve on their 2-1 SEC mark when they play at LSU on Saturday. The Rowan County football team is getting ready for its final home game of the season. The 1-6 Vikings will be at Paul Ousley Stadium on Friday night at 7:30 to tackle a major challenge as Coach Ray Graham's team faces unbeaten Johnson Central.
Johnson Central is a very powerful team. They've scored 300 and some points and allowed 76, I think. They're ranked number one in the state. In our division, they're undefeated. They have a good, strong offensive line and nice strong backs and a very, very fast quarterback, so they're very difficult to defend.
Trying to defend Johnson Central will be job one for Rowan. The Golden Eagles score an average of nearly 50 points a game and are rushing for about 330 yards per contest. Finally tonight in sports, after being rained out last night, the Rowan County boys soccer team will try again this evening to play their postseason opener. The Vikings are scheduled to battle Menifee County at 6 in round 1 of the 61st district tournament. Coach Max Hammond's team is 13-5-1 thus far, and he hopes that success will translate into a deep postseason run.
We just got to come out and play together, not be too selfish. We got to play smarter. We got to be efficient on the offensive side and, you know, shut them down on the defensive side. You know, the whole team plays defense, the whole team plays offense. So, you know, we got to take that mentality into the game.
In tonight's other boys' 61st district game, Fleming County will face Bath County. That will do it for sports tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles soccer will host SIU Edwardsville this Friday at MSU's Jane Stadium. Game time is 6 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783 2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed down but recovered significantly from historic intraday losses amid concerns about Europe, Ebola, and the economy. The Russell 2000 and transports turned positive as stocks came off lows in the last half hour before the close. S&P 400 mid-caps also traded higher, and the NASDAQ actually traded briefly positive today. And the Dow Industrials, after being down more than 450 points intraday, finished with a loss of 173.45 at 16,141.74. The S&P 500 was down 15.21 at 1862.49, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 11.85 at 4215.32. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16 to 14 in favor of winning or losing stocks over winners. Financials led decliners on the S&P 500 and were down 2%, while J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs were among the greatest blue-chip decliners. Prior to the start of trading, Bank of America posted a smaller-than-expected loss, while BlackRock reported better-than-expected earnings. In the hour before the close, Walmart fell more than 3% on news that the retailer cut its growth guidance. The CBOE Volatility Index, considered the best gauge of fear in the market, cut half its gains after rising as much as 35% to trade above 30, which is its highest level since November 2011. Overseas, European stocks closed more than 2% lower as investors shunned risky assets on fears of crumbling global growth, weak economic data, and concerns about Greece. In the U.S., transports recovered completely from a fall of about 2% in late morning trade, led by a decline in airlines on reports that the new Ebola patient flew the day before falling ill. Analysts said there were no reports of flight cancellations due to the disease and added that the news had more of a psychological effect than anything else, and so the transports having a great recovery from earlier weakness. Also, overseas markets in Greece, Portugal, Italy, France, Germany, and Spain all down more than 10% now from their most recent highs. And the 10-year U.S. Treasury note briefly dipped below 2% today to yield below 2% for the first time since May of 2013, while U.S. economic data that came out today was weaker than expected. Business inventories rose less than an expected amount in August, while U.S. retail sales fell 0.3% in September. The producer price index for September fell 0.1% as opposed to expectations of a small gain. In the commodities markets today, oil actually managed to settle down only 6 cents, showing a loss of only 6 cents at $81.78 a barrel, and gold shaved earlier gains to settle $10.50 higher at $1,242 an ounce. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.39 at $98.83, CSX up 37 cents at $32.98, AK Steel down 16 cents at $5.48, AEP down 35 cents at $54.37, Marathon Petroleum down $2.15 at $76.28, and Community Trust Bank was down 82 cents to finish at $34.89. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And taking one more look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, numerous showers in the evening, then occasional showers with lows near 50. Chance of rain is 80%. Tomorrow, cloudy with numerous showers in the morning, then scattered showers in the afternoon with highs around 60. Chance of rain is 60%. Thursday night, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s. Friday, partly cloudy, warmer with highs around 70. Friday night, partly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s, and Saturday through Sunday, partly cloudy with highs in the upper 50s and lows around 40. Currently in Ashland, it's 61 degrees, 57 degrees in Flemingsburg, 60 degrees in Inez, 57 degrees in Lexington, 56 degrees in Winchester, and in Moorhead, it is currently 58 degrees.
All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and then keep it here for Americana Crossroads tonight at 7. And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Joshua Grandison, Jared Wesley, Jordan Simonson, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, and Sam Steyard. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Tanner Boyd and all of the MSPR PR News Team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.